Title, reference track setup in Ableton Live Intermediate, drum and bass workflow. All right, let's build a reference setup in Ableton Live that actually makes your drum and bass mixes improve faster, instead of just making you feel bad, because the pro track is louder. Because that's the whole trick. If your reference is louder, it will almost always sound better. More punch, more bass, more excitement. So today we're setting up a clean, fast/B system where loudness bias is controlled, routing is safe, and you can check the stuff that matters in DNB, low-end stability, drum punch, stereo control, and arrangement energy. By the end, you'll have a reusable template, a reference bus that won't accidentally get exported, level matching that's quick, and one-click/B switch so you can compare your drop to a pro drop instantly. Let's go step by step. Step 0. Choose the right references, specifically for drum and bass. Pick 2 to 4 tracks that live in the same world as what you're making. If you're doing rolling or minimal, your references should show you groove, swing, and low-end control. If you're doing jump up or heavy, you want references that demonstrate mid-range bass impact and drop punch. If you're doing jungle, you want references that have break texture and that gritty top movement without being harsh. Teacher tip here. Pick one main reference that's your North Star, then keep 1 or 2 support references, like one track that you always trust for drums, and another you trust for bass tone and width. That way you're not constantly moving the goalposts. Step 1. Import the reference properly and avoid tempo chaos. Go to Arrangement View. Create a new audio track and name it REF, Main. Drag your reference audio onto that track. Now the big decision. Warp. Most of the time for modern DNB references, you want warp off. Click the clip. Go down to Clip View and disable warp. This preserves the original timing, transient shape, and microgroove. In drum and bass, tiny timing details matter. The way the break sits, the way hats swing, the way the snare breathes warp can mess with that more than people realize. When would you keep warp on? Two main cases. 1. You want the drop to line up perfectly on your grid so you can study phrasing and bar structure. 2. The track has timing drift, which is rare for modern releases, but can happen in older material. If you do warp, use Complex Pro for a full mix, and keep it transparent. You're not trying to remix it, you're trying to study it. Step 2. Make reference-only routing so you don't export it by accident. This is one of those things everyone thinks they'll remember, until they don't. And then you export a bounce with the reference quietly playing in the background, and you have a really awkward day. You've got a few options. Option A. Simple and safe. Keep the reference routed to the master like normal, but make mute reference part of your export checklist. Before you export, you mute that track. Easy. Option B. A pro approach: if your interface has extra outputs, route the reference to an external output, like outputs 3 and 4, maybe your headphone bus. That way you can still listen and compare, but it's not even in the path you export. Option C. The best in the box workflow: group references into a single bus. Create a group called REF bus. Color it something obnoxious, neon pink, bright red, whatever you can't ignore, and keep all reference tracks inside it. Then before export, you turn the track activator off for the whole group. It's like a master kill switch. We're going to assume you're doing the REF bus method, because it's fast and it scales when you add more references. Step 3. Level match your reference. Non-negotiable. This is the most important part of the entire lesson. If you only do one thing today, do this. On your REF, main track, add utility. Start by pulling the gain down somewhere around -8 to -12 dB. You can adjust later, but that range usually lands you closer to an unmastered work in progress. Then add a limiter after utility, just for safety. Set the ceiling to -1 dB. Leave look ahead at default. The limiter here isn't to master the reference, it's just to prevent surprise peaks when you switch back and forth. Now here's the practical level matching method that works in real sessions. Find the loudest section of your track, usually your drop A, loop it. Then find the equivalent drop energy section in the reference and loop that too, or at least get it close. Now, rapidly /B between your mix and the reference, and adjust the utility gain on the reference until the perceived loudness feels similar. Not identical, but close enough that you're not being tricked. Listen for 3 anchors. The kick, does it feel similarly forward? The snare, does one of them suddenly dominate when you switch? And overall energy, does the reference feel like it's just bigger because it's louder, or is it bigger for real? If you're on Live 12 and you like meters, cool, glance at them. But still trust ear matching first. Your ears are what will make the musical decisions. Extra coach note. Keep your monitoring volume consistent. If you keep turning your speakers up and down, your perception changes. A quick calibration trick is playing Pink Noise at -18 dBFS and setting your monitor knob to a comfortable conversation level loudness. Then leave it there. Your A/B decisions get way more reliable. Step 4. Build a fast A/B switch. Two solid options. Option 1 is the fastest, the crossfader A/B method. Enable the crossfader in Ableton. Then assign your mix to side A and your reference bus to side B. Your mix might be the group called MIX bus, or it might be the master group that contains drums, bass, music, and effects. Either way, put your whole mix on A and put REF bus on B. Then map the crossfader to a MIDI button or a key. Now you can snap instantly between your track and reference track without solo chaos, without clicking around, without losing the vibe. This matters because the shorter the gap between A and B, the more accurate your judgment is. Option 2 is exclusive solo. Go into preferences and enable exclusive solo, so when you solo one track it automatically unsolos the other. Then you can just hit solo on REF, main, then solo on MIX bus, and flip back and forth. It's not as instant as the crossfader, but it's clean and it works. Step 5. Add an analysis chain you can trust, using stock devices. You can do this on the master, but a cleaner approach is to put analysis tools on a dedicated monitoring chain or an analysis return track. The big idea is, you want tools that help you diagnose, not tools that trick you into mixing with your eyes. First device, utility for mono and width checks. Map width if you like, but even just clicking to mono is huge. Quick DNB reality check. When you go mono, does your sub vanish? If it does, your low end is too wide or too facey. Clubs and big systems will punish that. Second device, EQ8, mainly as a visual guide. Turn the analyzer on. Then switch between your track and the reference and watch the overall shape, especially sub area around 30 to 60 Hz, the kick versus sub relationship, often somewhere around the 45 to 80 Hz story depending on the tune, and the mud zone, like 150 to 350 Hz, where heavy DNB can get cloudy fast. Third device, spectrum. Set the block size to 8192, averaging to slow, and a range like -72 dB to 0. That gives you a stable picture for DNB, where subs and highs can be extreme. Now, one important teacher warning. Don't chase loudness too early. Sometimes it's smart to compare tone and space without your master limiter slamming everything. Do your balance and groove reference checks at a moderate level, then later do a separate pass where you compare competitive loudness behavior. If you combine those too early, you'll end up mixing into a limiter and wondering why your drums feel flat. Step 6. Align arrangement markers. This is a cheat code for DNB. DNB often lives in 16 and 32 bar blocks, and the energy curve is very deliberate. Find the drop in the reference where the full kick and bass hit, and place a locator. If you warped it to the grid, you can even set 1.1.1 at the drop for studying structure, but you don't have to. Even unwarped, locators are still useful visually. Then mark out the common zones. A DJ-friendly intro, often 16 to 32 bars. A pre-drop tension section, 8 to 16 bars. Drop A, often 32 bars. A break or halftime tease, 16 to 32 bars. Drop B with variation, often 32 bars. And an outro that's also DJ-friendly. This helps you compare pacing, not sounds. Pacing. And pacing is what makes your track feel pro way earlier than fancy processing. Extra arrangement tip. Copy the energy curve, not the sound choices. Your tune can be totally different, but the rises and falls should feel similarly intentional. Step 7. Make it template ready so you actually use it. Group your mix into a MIX bus structure. Typically drums, bass, music, FX. Put references inside REF bus. Color code it so your brain reads it instantly. Then save the whole thing as a template. That's the difference between I should reference more and I reference automatically every session. Now, quick common mistakes to avoid. Mistake 1. Not level matching. That's how you end up chasing loudness instead of balance. Mistake 2. Warping the reference for no reason and killing the transients and groove. Mistake 3. Comparing unfairly because your mix is going through heavy master processing and the reference isn't game matched into the same listening path. Mistake 4. Only referencing one section. In DNB, you need to check intro, drop, and break down space. Mistake 5. Ignoring mono compatibility. Wide res plus stereo sub equals a club nightmare. Mistake 6. Leaving the reference audible during export. It happens. Protect yourself with that REF bus kill switch. Let's add a couple advanced coach moves that will make your referencing feel super intentional. 1. Do micro a slash B loops instead of whole track a slash B. Make a few short loop regions you always check. A 1-bar kick plus sub hit. A 1-bar snare on 2 and 4. A 2-bar hat groove. A 4 to 8-bar busiest moment of the drop. And a short breakdown section. This gives you fast, actionable feedback, instead of getting lost listening to 2 minutes and forgetting what you were comparing. 2. Do a limited bandwidth check. Throw an EQ on your monitoring chain and band limit roughly 150 Hz to 6 kHz. If your groove and snare energy still feel competitive there, you're in a really good place. It's like a translation test. 3. Check tone matching, not just loudness matching. Once perceived loudness is close, listen for sub-note length, kick to sub-stability to cross notes, and top-end density. A lot of DNB proneness is simply controlled density. The highs aren't necessarily louder, they're more consistently filled without harsh spikes. Mini practice exercise, about 15 minutes. Import one rolling DNB reference and disable warp on ref, main, add utility at around minus 10 dB, then a limiter with a minus 1 dB ceiling. Set up crossfader a slash B, your mix on A, reference on B. Loop 8 bars of your drop. Now do 3 checks and write 1 sentence for each. Low end. Is your sub louder or quieter than the reference? Snare. At matched perceived loudness, is your snare forward enough? Stereo. Does your mix collapse in mono compared to the reference? Then make 1 corrective move only. Just 1. Maybe it's a small EQ cut around 250 Hz on the bass group, or shortening the kick tail or tightening the sub release. The goal is precision, not chaos. Save the set as a template when you're done. Recap to lock it in. Import references cleanly, and usually keep warp off. Level match with utility before you judge anything. Use a fast A/B system, ideally the crossfader. Add lightweight analysis tools, utility, EQ8, spectrum. Use locators to learn DNB phrasing and energy. This audio version is shortened for playback.